Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the answered prayers. We thank you for the Sabbath day, blessing us with a day of rest, as well as a day that we can dwell on all that you have done for us, all that you have created, to glorify you, to go into your scriptures, and to see the showbread changed. We pray you bless us in a special way today with the readings of either Sister White or Scripture or whatever you have us go into. We thank you for blessing us with understanding, and we thank you for letting us be alive in these last days and seeing these things happen. Give us strength, Father, to be able to endure the days ahead, because the enemy is gathering forces to his side, and they're making bold moves, and they're doing it in such a way that they're letting the people of the world see what they're doing on purpose, just to show strength. Father, we pray for that strength that we have in Jesus, more so now. And we thank you for forgiving us of our sins, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and making us worthy receptacles of the latter rain. And thank you so much for all those that are on the prayer list, for blessing them in the ways that they need to be blessed. And Father, I pray that you bless all those that help the ministry in the way that you have promised to bless them, as well as all those that are involved in this last day movement. In Jesus' name, amen. Oops. Hold on. I got something wrong with the light. It's kind of flickering there. All right. We're still in last day events. We're on page 27 that actually have the book. Or you F3. Yeah. Why isn't it showing up on our end? Hit it again. There it goes. Right. Okay. For those of you that don't have the book, it's in the room now. I want to welcome all the new people. I do see a couple of new names there. If you're unfamiliar with Sister White's writings, the scriptures did say in the last days your daughter shall prophesy. If you don't consider her a prophet, that's fine. Just try a little experiment. Take some of her writings, and instead of using like Easton or Matthew Henry or any of these other guys, when you use like when you do your Bible studies, and because some people, what I do is I'll read scripture and then I'll go into Sister White's writings to see what she says about the passages that I read. A lot of people do the same thing with Easton or Spurgeon or Matthew Henry or whatever. Try doing it with Sister White for about a month. You'll never pick up Easton, Spurgeon, or Matthew Henry again. They leave certain things out. She brings it all back in, and she points right back to the Lord. And within that month, I am sure that you'll see her saying things that are happening today that there's just no way that she could have known without being a prophet. So anyway, we're in manuscript 167, 1897. And this is a big one, so we might only do this one today. Probably because the next one is big too, so we're going to have to stop here. So, give me my highlighter, Luke. I'll just get ready to highlight this one. Okay. In answer to the questions that have recently come to me in regard to resuming the Reform dress, I would say that those who have been agitating this subject may be assured that they have not been inspired by the Spirit of God. Didn't we have a meeting last week about dress reform? We did, yeah, at 5 o'clock on Sabbath. That's pretty good, too. We had 25 families stop by and listen in. Online, that is. Okay, continuing. It says, the Lord has not indicated that it is the duty of our sisters to go back to the reform dress. The difficulties that we once had to meet are not to be brought in again. There must be no branching out now into singular forms of dress. New and strange things will continually arise to lead God's people into false excitement, religious revivals, and curious developments. But our people should not be subjected to any tests of human invention that would create controversy in any line. Now, I'm stuck. I'm hearing this one sentence she says here, there must be no branching out into singular forms of dress. What does that mean? No branching out. Well, the only thing that came to my mind was, in other words, women only wear dresses, men only wear pants. Well, men should only wear pants anyway. What I'm saying is the singular form of dresses, like, because women can wear pants, because what we found last week in Sister White's writings and stuff like that. A singular form. Yeah, just one type, like the petticoat. Oh, there you go. Yeah, like the nuns have it, or the Mormons, or the folks. Who are those people? Are those Shakers? The German Black Sock Church? Is that what they call it? That's what they call themselves in Cisna. Is it in Cisna that they did it? I don't know. But yeah, they wear the black leotards underneath. They got the long dresses, and they got like a bonnet. Everything's black. Yeah. That's a singular form of dress, I would imagine. Okay, continuing, it says, the advocacy of the old reform dress proved a battle at every step. With some, there was no uniformity in taste in the preparation of the costume, and those who refused to adopt it called dissension and discord. Thus the cause was dishonored, because that which was given as a blessing was turned into a curse. The burden of advocating the reform dress was removed. There were some things that made the reform dress a decided blessing. With it, the ridiculous hoops, which were in the fashion, could not possibly be worn, nor the long trailing skirts sweeping up the filth of the streets. Literally, they have become street sweepers, the girls, you know. And those hoops, I could not figure out what... I know fashion does strange things, but then the corset? I mean, that crushed women's organs on the inside, didn't it? I mean, they would literally pull... it's like tying a shoe real tight, but it's around your waist. That had to be extremely unhealthy. I mean, it can go to an extreme. I mean, look in China. I was reading about this when I was a kid in those encyclopedias that I used to love to read, and about the Chinese women find it, or the men find it alluring if the Chinese woman that he's dating or wedding would have extremely tiny feet. And the way they would make their feet tiny is they would wear shoes that were smaller and smaller and smaller until the toes would literally fold under, and the foot would end up becoming deformed, where before you know it, it's like a stump. But the whole toes, the foot, everything's there. It bends the whole foot down to like a stump. Looks like a stump, and that's considered alluring. It's painful for the woman, of course. Yeah, I mean, how many years you would have to go through to. And just like in Africa, the girls with those rings around their necks, they keep putting the rings on, they're stretching their neck out, you know? And science said for hundreds of years when they saw that, oh, when you take the rings off, the woman's head's going to flop over and she's just going to, you know, the muscles are atrophied. Well, about 2 years ago, I watched on, remember? They took the rings off and the woman's head didn't flop over. She had an extremely long-looking neck, but, you know, and a real bony-looking thing, but it was able to hold the head up. So... anyway, continuing, it says, but in recent years, a more sensible style of dress has been adopted by the world, which does not embrace these objectionable features, and if our sisters wish to make their dresses after these models, simple and plain, the Lord will not be dishonored by their doing so. So it's just common, you know, use common sense. You know, some have supposed that the skirt and sack mentioned in Testimonies, Volume 4, page 640, was the pattern that all should adopt. This is not so, but something as simple as this should be used. No one precise style has been given me as the exact rule to guide all in their dress. Here she's speaking as a prophet because she's declaring that, you know, the Lord would have said otherwise, you know. Continuing, should our sisters think they must adopt the uniform of style of dress, controversy would arise, and those whose minds should be wholly given to the work of the third angel's message would spend their time making aggressive warfare on the outward dress to the neglect of that inward piety, the ornament of the meek, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. And it happens today too. You get people that go a little overboard with dress reform or the Yahweh movement or saying you got to keep feast days, anything to get you off the present truth, anything to get you off the third angel's message. These people will just concentrate on that, build their whole ministry around that, and then go forth. And that's like we used to say, chasing rabbits. You're going in a direction that's, you know, totally off the path. The dress question is not to be our present truth. There you have it. To create an issue on this point now would please the enemy. He would be delighted to have our minds diverted to any subject by which he might create division of sentiment and lead our people into controversy. That's another reason you see the GC people butting heads with the people that have stepped outside. There's all these rabbits they're chasing, and they're not keeping their eye on the present truth. And like what Brother Rob brought up in the sermon last week in regards to the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, the cage is obvious. You're trapped. You know, it's built around the person to such an extent where they can't get out. I beg of our people to walk carefully and circumspectly before God, follow the customs and dress as far as they conform to health principles. Let our sisters dress plainly, as many do, having the dress of good, durable material appropriate for this age, and let not the dress question fill the mind. Our sisters should dress with simplicity. They should clothe themselves in modest apparel and shamefacedness and sobriety, like Scripture says. Give to the world a living illustration of the inward adorning of the grace of God. Place yourselves under the discipline of the living oracles of God, subjecting the mind to influences which form the character aright. We are nearing the close of this world's history. We are face to face with tremendous conflicts, storms of dissension, of which few dream, and all our time and power of thought are to be centered on the living issues before us. And she's talking over 100 years ago. Today's world is a joke. This is one of the reasons she said back then to get out of the cities. That's more or less, you know, well, we just finished that chapter, but because you can't toss a stone in the city without seeing some kind of temptation. Everything from billboards to people driving by in a car next to you. There's just temptation everywhere. And whatever, you know, when I say the people next to you, it could be you're tempted by, you know, the opposite sex or the same sex or the fact that they got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, you're tempted to smoke. Or if they got a beer, you see that, you're tempted to drink. Or you know they're all high, you're tempted to smoke, you know, a joint away. Or you just see a billboard, anything. Or you're tempted to speed. I mean, there's just all sorts of, you know, because the guy pulls up alongside you. I remember that all the time when I was a teenager. They pull up alongside and they rev up the engine. And so you're tempted, you know, break the law, punch it, and just get going. There's all sorts of temptations in the city. And there's also a lot of convenience in the city, too, but as soon as it becomes martial law, the people in the city are going to be saying, we wish we would have listened to those people that were saying to get out of the city, because now they've been out of the city for years, we're sewed up, we can't get out of the city, and they're out there on their farms watching everything and getting prepared because it's coming their way. We'll have plenty of warning out here, but out in the cities they won't. It'll just like in Hitler's day, that one girl that was, I don't know if she's dead now, she's like 102, 103 when she made these statements. She said that one morning or one night she went to bed, she was 16 years old in Germany, or no, I think it was Poland. She went to bed, the next morning she got up and freedom was gone. There was a Nazi soldier on every street corner and they were going house to house. The next day, while they were all sleeping, they all moved in to the towns and the cities and everything. And no one can get in and no one can get out of the cities until they were done going from city to city to city. That's what they're planning on doing here. If you just get an aerial photo of any suburb of any big city, you'll see how everybody's packed in like sardines. It makes their job that much easier. Continuing, she says, God has tests for this age, and they are to stand out plain and unmistakable. It is too late now to become enthusiastic over any man-made tests. The great test for this time is on the commandments of God, especially the Sabbath, and nothing is to be brought in to draw the mind and heart from the preparation needed to meet it. The people of God will have all the tests that they can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13 confirms that. We are not going to be tempted above that which we are able. We're not going, you know, the Lord's not going to allow temptation we can't handle. If we're walking with him, if we're not, he's not going to take us from the hour of temptation, it says in Scripture. It says plainly. We will be, you know, the hour of temptation won't come upon us, that will, you know, but it will come upon all the world. The Sabbath question is a test that will come to the whole world. We need nothing to come in now as a test for God's people that shall make more severe for them the test they already have. You know, we got enough problems. We don't need to add to them. Let our sisters conscientiously heed the word of God for themselves. They do not begin the work of reform until you do. You cannot possibly change the heart. To get up a different style of dress will not do it. The difficulty is the church needs converting daily. It's just like with, you're not going to get someone to gain heaven just by using the name Yahweh. You're not going to get someone to gain heaven by, you know, saying you have to keep the feast days or whatever strange, you know, fanaticism that's out there. You know, you're not going to get them. You're going to, you know, the only way you're going to get someone to gain heaven is, you know, conversion, get them to accept Jesus Christ. She goes on to say, there are many things that will come to try and test these poor, deluded, spiritually dwarfed, world-loving souls. They will have deep trials. Let there be no man-made tests, for God has prepared to prove and try them. So we don't need to add to their problems. If they will heed his admonitions and warnings, he will receive them graciously. The working of the Spirit of God will show a change outwardly. Those who venture to disobey the plainest statement of inspiration will not heed any human efforts made to induce them to wear plain, neat, unadorned, proper dress that will not in any way make them odd or singular. They will continue to expose themselves by hanging out their colors to the world. So it's kind of like a banner, you know, with the way some men and some women dress nowadays. They walk down the street and this is their advertisement. This is how they walk and this is what they're saying. They got a name for every look now. You got the grunge look. You got whatever. You know.
No,
what? Well, that too. Yeah. It's not just them either. I'm talking the wicked do the same thing too now. I mean, you got the punk rockers wear all black, you know, safety pins in their eyebrows. I mean, they're you know whatever. And then you got the heavy metal headbangers. They just wear torn up jeans, shirts and with the hair down to their waist, and it's, whatever, it's advertisement is all it is. It's letting the people. It's like your banners, like saying here, they're hanging out their colors to the world. This is what I'll do. I don't care. You know, I'll do what I have to do. Continuing, it says there are those who will never return to their first love. They will never cease to make an idol of self. With all the light of the Word of God shining on their pathway, they will not obey His directions. They will follow their own tastes and do as they please. These sisters give a wrong example to the youth and to those who have newly come to the faith, for they will see little difference between their apparel and that of a worldling. And you can look at it now with all the like the Protestant churches, even and especially the Catholic churches, but. To give it a little bit more understanding here as to what she's saying, look at Christian rock and roll. I mean, I know that's an oxymoronic statement. You can't use the word Christian and rock and roll in the same statement, but that's what they're doing today. And when you look at the Christian singers, like Jessie Velasquez, for example, how she moans and groans when she sings. She started singing for so-called Jesus when she was 14 or 15 years old on the television. She moans and groans just like Christina Aguilera or Britney Spears. I mean, if no one told you that she was singing for Jesus Christ and she was a Christian, and you watched her video and then you watched another video, or even if you didn't watch the videos, you just listen to how each one of them sing, you cannot tell the difference. They're just like she says. They look just like the world likes. There's no difference. To those who are making self their idol in the line of the human test should be presented. Wait, let me read that again. To those who are making self their idol, nothing in the line of human test should be presented, for it would only give them an excuse for making the final plunge into apostasy. Such do not know whom they are serving. Knowledge and power belong to God. The ignorantly guilty must learn their condition. We must wait patiently and not fail or be discouraged, for God has His plans arranged. Luke, can you hit where it says monitor on the underneath the mixer? See where it says no. On the mixer, to your left, right there. The light, yeah, it says monitor. Never mind, here, just shut it off. That way, whenever I get an email, everybody won't hear it. All right. Where did I leave off? Okay, let me back up. It says, the ignorantly guilty must learn their condition. We must wait patiently and not fail or be discouraged, for God has His plans all arranged. While we are burdened and distressed, for example, remember when we first came to the Lord and we stepped out of the Catholic Church? It took us 10 years to get totally out. The Lord was patient and long-suffering with us. But if somebody would have walked up to me day one after I left the Catholic Church and told me everything about Roman Catholicism and how it's intertwined, everything from Christmas to wedding rings, if they would have told me those things, I would have just been, I just can't handle it. It's just too much. Overwhelmed. And like she says, I would have just gone and dived right into apostasy. But the Lord just chipped away at all the garbage. Little by little. Chipped it away, you know. And it took like, I mean, because we left a little over 20 years ago, we left the Catholic Church. And about 10 years ago, we had got to such an extent or such a plateau in our walk that the Lord says, okay, now it's time to hear this stuff. That's when we found out about the Sabbath, the truth about the seven-year trib, what the real mark of the beast is, and so on and so forth. And so it's wise to do it, you know, don't attack some people for one aspect of their walk when they're not even walking with Christ in the first place. I know you say that to me a lot, when because I have a problem with that, you know. I see loved ones doing things that they shouldn't be doing, you know, or, you know, my own kids to siblings, you know, I see that. And well, I haven't seen my siblings in years, but you know, you hear things. And it upsets me. And but the more important issue would be, hey, let them find Christ first, and then the rest will fall in place. The rest will just fall in line. Okay, continue. It says, while we are burdened and distressed, but waiting in patient submission, our invisible helper will be doing the work we do not see, and will bring it to pass in his providence. And will bring it to pass in his providence, events. It doesn't seem to make sense. There should be a comma there or something. Events which will either work reformations or will separate these half-hearted world-loving members from the believers. The Lord knows about every case and how to deal with each. I mean, if he can count the hairs on our head, he certainly knows how each one of us and how our personalities are and whatnot. Okay? And continuing, it says, our wisdom is limited to a point. While infinite wisdom comprehends the end from the beginning, our whole term of probation is very brief. A short walk will be done in the earth. God's own tests will come. His proving will be sharp and decisive. Let every soul humble himself before God and prepare for what is awaiting us. In other words, I don't care if you live in the deepest, darkest jungle of Africa and you've dug a hole 90 feet deep and you're in there, he's still going to test you, you know, no matter where you're at in life. You cannot hide from this. If he created you, you'll be tested. Guaranteed. Let these conscientious sisters who would enter upon the work of dress reform walk circumspectly and work in a manner that will correspond with the burden of the message for this time. The surrender of heart, soul, mind, in obedience to the commandments of God is as a thread of gold, binding up the precious things of God and revealing their value in the time of trial. Therefore, I say to my sisters, enter into no controversy in regard to outward apparel, but be sure that you have the inward adorning of a meek and quiet spirit. Let all who accept the truth show their true colors. We are a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. You know, in other words, you might be the only Bible some people read. I mean, come on, seriously, think about it. How much Bible reading do you think the thief on the cross did before he turned and looked and saw Jesus Christ hanging next to him and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom? How much Bible study did that guy have? He probably only saw Jesus every now and then in the neighborhood and saw the miracles and then saw how the apostles acted and it just hit him. I've run into people all my life. You've run into them, you know. They've made decisions, or they would come up and says, you know, I've watched you, and I've seen this, and I've seen, you know, whatever. You know, you don't know when you're being watched. You just don't. False prudence, mock modesty may be shown by the outward apparel, while the heart is in great need of the inward adoring. Stand ever committed to the right. Do not look around to see if there are not tests that can be brought upon God's people. God has given a test, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. That's literally the test for this day. And then she quotes Scripture. She goes, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. That's why when that tsunami hit at Christmas time, that preacher said to the whole world the reason the tsunami hit is because people weren't going to church on Sundays. They're doing everything they can to make it difficult for people that keep Sabbath to continue keeping it because there's going to be loss. People say, oh, that's not going to happen. If it's not going to happen, if this prophecy that we've been talking about, them making a national Sunday law, which will eventually become a global Sunday law, if this was a lie that we're talking about for the last 150 some odd years, if it's a lie, then why are all the prophecies happening exactly as they say? How come they're passing laws? How come there's like over two dozen nations right now on the earth that have Sunday laws? And why is a preacher saying that you have to go to church on Sunday or you're going to have a tsunami hit your neighborhood? Because they're going to enforce it, just like the prophecy said. We're not prophets. We're not psychics. We're just telling you what Scripture already wrote down. All right, finishing up, it says, all who bring to the observance of the Sabbath a heart consecrated to God will find that the day God has sanctified is more to them than they had an idea of. Let me read that again. All who bring to the observance of the Sabbath a heart consecrated to God will find that the day God has sanctified is more to them than they had any idea of. I am the Lord that doth sanctify you, verse 13 of course. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So many people say that the Lord's day is Sunday, even though there's not a single scripture from Genesis to Revelation to say that. They'll take Revelation out of context and say that because John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Jesus himself said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So if he's talking about Jesus, he's in the Spirit on the Sabbath, right? Plus, it does say in Scripture, in Isaiah 58:13, that the Sabbath is my holy day. So that is the Lord's day there. But getting back to that one sentence, let me read it one more time. All who bring to the observance of the Sabbath a heart consecrated to God will find that the day of God, the day God has sanctified, is more to them than they had any idea of. In other words, then when you read that scripture, you see how if you don't do your own thing, if you don't talk your own like gossip or whatever, if you give the day completely to the Lord, then when the day finally comes, He will give it to you. You will see it become an honor, you know, a delight to the Lord. If it's hard to see this, like, because I remember when I first started keeping the Sabbath, how it was kind of difficult. Because there were certain things I wanted to do and I couldn't do on that day. And then when you finally give it up and say, totally take the day and it's yours, Lord, you finally get to the point where you realize that it does become a delight because now those things that you wanted to do before, you don't want to do. And because now that you don't want to do them, the day does become a delight. But if you still want to do them, then the day is going to be a chore, you know. And so, because that's how it changed for me. Because that's what it's more or less saying in Isaiah 58:13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, and thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon high places in the earth, and to feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. So if you do those things, he will do his part. He's good at promises. He's always keeps them. All right, we're going to do the children's... No, we sing first, and then we do the children's story. I got to memorize that. I guess I keep forgetting that. So we'll be back in a minute, folks.